I'm Gina Fernandez from North Carolina. And I was assigned these states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and Alabama. I would say the Southeast, except for we don't include Florida. I mean, they're just a whole nother world, so that's what I'm going to be talking about. And somebody else will be talking about Florida, Carlene here. So I surveyed everybody in the Southeast and they gave me back some information here. Collectively, I think in the Southeast and even in North Carolina in general, we're number three behind California and Florida. They're big. We're, you know, very small. But we're number three in the United States, depending on whose statistics you look at, USDA or NCSU, former extension specialists. We're somewhere between 1,300 and 2,000 acres. South Carolina's got some formidable acres as well, about 400 acres. Virginia, Georgia, Alabama, much less so, but collectively we're about 2,000 acres in the southeastern United States. Somewhere between 10 and maybe 20,000 pounds per acre, depending on the plant density that you plant. And collectively, we're worth about maybe $47 million. The current production systems, we mostly use the annual hill production system. It's a fall planted system, annual system, on plastic, usually plug, sometimes bare root plants. A few of the growers use tunnels. A few use matted row, and those are usually in the mountainous areas of all the different states in here, but the majority is the annual hill plus plastic culture planted in the fall and harvested in the spring. So the markets type, so I was out of strawberries for a little while and I came back in a few years ago, and it was when I started 20 years ago in North Carolina, it was almost all pick your own. It has really changed in the last maybe 5 to 10 years. Now we're about 50% wholesale, 50% pick your own in North Carolina. Some of the other states are following that trend too. Still the same amount of acreage, but we have a few large growers that are actually producing on large scale 20, 30 acres or more and shipping to various locations on the East Coast. So we have them. We're following Florida. After Florida gets done, North Carolina comes into production and starts shipping around up north. South Carolina, they have one large grower. That's wholesale. The rest is pretty much pre-picked. Not a whole lot of pick-your-own in South Carolina. It gets hot pretty quickly in the South, so we don't do a whole lot of that. Virginia, mostly pick your own farmers markets. They have a lot of farmers markets, especially around the D.C. area. So they like that pre-picked. They come to the markets and buy their food. A little bit of wholesale and farmers markets as well. And there was one of the first CSA berry farms. The Geyers actually had a CSA for fruit. Now they expanded to other things, but I thought that was kind of interesting, just a CSA for fruit. Georgia has mostly pick your own and some direct. There's rumor of a large grower there, but they couldn't confirm it, so maybe they're trying to kind of get in between North Carolina and Florida, get some wholesale marketing in there. In Alabama, mostly pick your own roadside sales. Cultivars, this is interesting too. For 20 plus years, it was Chandler, Camarosa, Sweet Charlie, and it's pretty much still that in the States. It's starting to shift around a little bit, but those are the three big ones throughout our regions so far. Some that are creeping in are Camino Real for the big growers. They like that because it can ship well. Albion because it extends their harvest season. Even though their yields aren't great in the summer, they'll still grow it because they have the smaller farms will have a lot of other things for sale, and they want to continue having some strawberries there as well. Depending on where you are within the different states, too, the Piedmont and the coastal plains are mostly Camarosa. Chandler's maybe more up in the mountains. A little bit of festival and a little bit of Florida sensation. It's not on this list, too. It does okay. It hasn't caught on real well with growers. Ruby June is a new one that's creeping in. It's being recommended by Blossom Canyon. And that's mostly just on trial basis, but it's an early one. It's nice flavor, and some growers are starting to adopt it as well. But really a shift over from what we just only grew Chandler for a longest time. So some predictions for the region in the future. So after 25 years, Chandler is no longer the big one, at least in North Carolina. It has toppled. It just shocked me. Camarosa, though, is number one. So that's not a big change. It's still the one that's very old. Wholesale growers are using Camino Real, like I said, some trialing some others, shifting from mostly the pick-your-own local to more wholesale or a combination of pick-your-own and local sales. We need disease resistance. That's our maybe number one problem, and regional adaptation. So we're not California. We need some June-bearing or spring-bearing type of strawberries. we're not Florida. We need chilling. So we have this other niche that we fit into. And we're not certainly not the Northeast or the Midwest either, because it's a lot warmer and we grow on an annual system. And Calotropicum are probably the main ones, a little bit of Phytophthora. Need a better system for clean plants. Every year we have a problem with one nursery or the other. We have somebody has Phytophthora in their plants that get shipped down. Anthracnose, it's always something. So it's always, we need a better system for getting clean plants to our growers. Labor is a huge issue as well. And I thought maybe something like an app for frost protection, because it seems like that's a if-then kind of thing. It'll be easy enough, and growers are now using their phones a lot more for those decision-making tools, so that might be something for the future. South Carolina, these are some of the things that they sent up to me. They had throughout the Southeast, we had a virus outbreak a few years ago. We lost some acreage, figured out what it was. Now we have cleaner plants, and the acreage is starting to creep up in South Carolina. They're trying to get more systematic about taking data, so they're using the model from University of Georgia, the FarmGate model it's called, so they can actually have real data because he had to estimate it all. So they think the yields or the acreage is increasing within South Carolina. We've seen a lot of resistance to pesticides, especially for botrytis. And Guido Schnabel at Clemson has devised a system where you can send him some of your plant material. He'll come back and say, you have resistance to X, Y, and Z. Use A. So it's a really nice thing. There's an app as well that they've developed. We can try to do some diagnostics for your different diseases and insects. Virginia, some of the things that they said is important is increase in acreage for local foods. That's a big trend, I think, all over the country. New varieties, season extension, and any technology that addresses labor, because that's an issue for all of us. Further shift in annual production in the mountains and upper Piedmont, so in the western parts of the states, in our region. Used to be just Matter Row, but they're starting to do that. I think it's just getting warmer, and we can shift to that system. Spotted-winged Drosophila resistance to botrytis and fungicides, mostly for the summer. Spotted-winged Drosophila is for the Albion or the day-neutral types. Phonax welcome. So this was the second time it appeared, too. So things that can help us and help the growers. In Georgia, it's mostly pick-your-own and local-grown movement. It still seems to have an impact. Don't expect a lot of growth there, but some continued growth. Acreage in Alabama is pretty small, but more growers are interested in production of that crop as a way to increase the diversity with what they grow. So what are the things that we are thinking about for the future? So we're way behind Europe. I think everybody probably in this room has gone to Europe and seen what they're done. You know, we are way behind their technology. We don't have land as an issue, so we don't have to go up and we don't have to be very tricky. But we could implement some of those technologies that they have. You know, so flora forecasting, that would be a great thing to be able to do. You know, to say, this is, you know, put this plant in the field, it's got this many meristems, and we're ready to go. So those types of things would be useful, I think. Soilless culture, maybe, to improve production, too, with the whole methylbromide elimination. We need to think outside the box, because some of the other chemicals are not that great as well. Breeding for the region. I'm a breeder, so, you know, that's one of the things that keeps me busy. We're not California and we're not Florida. We are unique, and we need to have varieties that are adapted to our conditions. Sugar, flavor, disease resistance, chilling, those are some of the top on my list. Thinking forward, season extension beyond tunnels. It's like Marvin mentioned, you know, there's those factories out there. They're not making money as far as I know, but there's something to think about in the future if you're, you know, close to a big city, something like that as well. Use of solar power. There was a farm up in the mountains in Tennessee that was trying to do using solar power, trying to produce strawberries. Some of the things outside of the box, too, I was Googling, and they said nanotechnology for frost protection. I have no idea what that is, but they said maybe that something will be developed there. Drones for pollination. Somebody approached me and said, have you ever thought about using drones for pollination? I was like, no, but okay. My dream would be to have no more spotted-winged Drosophila anywhere in any of my crops, so that would be a new era. So these are the people that helped me throughout the Southeast to give me some data, and I guess time's up. Oh, I have two minutes. Any questions? Well, I had 1 minute. I had there, too. One question. Chad. Not from Chandler. I think lots of people, and it holds up a little bit better. So that's why some of the people, because they're doing more direct marketing. They pick them and they sell them there, so it holds a little better. From pick your own, Camarosa's or Chandler's better. But if they're going to pre-pick them, hold them there on the farm a little bit better, it does better for them. It's also more tricky if you have a cold winter. Camarosa doesn't do as well, but we figured out you use row covers in the fall, and then you can kind of compensate for that yield loss that you might get. So.